Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, Truth Straight Up. I'm Julie Hayden. Chuck Bonnywell, my partner in crime, is wrapping up a business phone call, so he'll be down joining us in just a minute. I want to talk about the Canada stuff going on. Also, I have some thoughts on that Lindsay Clancy trial. When I was a reporter, I covered a lot of trials involving insanity. Actually, sadly, more than one case involving a mother who killed her child and then claimed postpartum depression was part of the reason. I mean, those are tragic cases, but typical left fashion, right? They jump on it and beat it to death in social media to meld it to fit their twisted reasons. But wanted to also start off with, you too can own a downtown Denver skyscraper. We've talked before on the show how the city's progressive policies have destroyed downtown. It's crime. In fact, Rev and I had a thing with one of his coaches at like 15th and Ogden on Capitol Hill, right, last week. I mean, I was stunned at just how awful the place was. You just had homeless people passed out all over the place. Everything was trashy. I got to think, if you used to be, when you worked there and lived kind of there, because Chuck and I, we used to live kind of not close near Cheeseman Park, and it was kind of cool, right? It was kind of an urban kind of cool thing. Now, I think I was glad they had a parking lot, because even Rev was like, I don't think we should leave our car on the street. And you're like, no. But that's even a little bit up and down. But downtown, it's like, it's a ghost town. In fact, I think the Wall Street Journal had a recent story saying Denver was one of the dirtiest cities. That's because, I mean, you get the homeless people, and they're not homeless. Let's be clarified. These are drug addicts who live on the streets and take advantage of all the free stuff that the city offers them, right? These are not people who, you know, serve their country in a post, you know, stress syndrome, things like that. These are people who choose to be drug addicts, and that's the thing. Yeah, Jacob, you're right. Denver is the emptiest downtown in America. Well, it's going to stay that way, because on top of that, so then you've got, it's disgusting. The crime is there. It's sort of this downward spiral, right? In the meantime, Colorado and Denver in particular are completely not only unfriendly to businesses, they actually penalize businesses. I think the unemployment or the minimum wage is going to go up yet again in Denver. And as a result, businesses have fled the city, right? They fled the state, they fled the city. And I don't know who they think is going to fill all those downtown office buildings. And for the most part, people aren't. So this is in the news today. Downtown Denver's Columbine Place Tower, it's a 17-story office tower, sold for $3.6 million at an online auction. Right. Some guy bought it, and he's not some real estate mogul. He's not some giant corporation. He's a guy who's been in the healthcare industry, and he just was able to get a loan for $3.6 million. And now he has himself a 17-story skyscraper. That's the good news. The bad news is it had been in foreclosure apparently for years, right? And finally, the bank was, or whoever had the mortgage, is like, we just want to get rid of it. It is right now 70% vacant. Okay, so if you're going to, yeah, like Jacob says, and yet insurance prices are going up. And if you're going to work in a building, a 17-story building, right, that's 70% vacant, that's just got to be creepy. I mean, that would just be creepy. I mean, I've worked at radio stations in the middle of the night, right, where you work the overnight shift, and there's no one around. And it's always kind of weird when there's nobody around in a big office complex, right? Kind of scary, too. And I guess I would just say creepy. So if it's 70% vacant right now, that's just going to go down, right? Apparently, two of the three elevators don't work. There's air conditioning issues. There's all kinds of other issues with the building. He, unlike anybody, some of the other people who are buying the downtown office skyscrapers, isn't even pretending like they are, that he's going to turn it into affordable housing. Because let me talk about that for just a second. Why would you want to have housing in a place where no one goes, right? They're just doing that, I think, so they can get grants and they can sound good and the city will let them buy it on the cheap. This guy says, no, I'm going to continue to use it as office space. Well, let me tell you what that means. That means that the guy, and it's just probably smart on his part, he's going to sit on it, right, until someday soon. I mean, it is downtown Denver. It is a 17-story skyscraper. It's in the heart of downtown. So even if they have to demolish it, the property itself will someday regain value. And he's just going to sit on it. He's not going to improve the property. He's not going to spruce it up and have all these businesses come on down. No, he's buying it because, 10 years ago, it was worth $30 million. Was worth $30 million. So he paid $3 million for it. If he even sits on it for a few years and it goes up to $6 million, he's doubled his investment, right? And so that's what's going to happen. And I think it's not going to improve. And I think it's, like I said, it's wise on his part, I think, because then you can just sit on it. And I've worked in places before where that's what happened, right? Where the owner of the building wants to sell the building. In the meantime, they want to kind of get as much kind of rent out of people as they can. I mean, I've worked in buildings where, you know, the air conditioning quit working, the heater quit working, where the bathrooms were kind of sketchy and there was no one to call when it didn't work, right? Because the owner was like, look, I'm not putting any more money into this because I'm going to sell it someday. And then sure enough, they sell it and you have about like a 5 minutes notice to find a new place to work. And that's what's going to happen here. And I think it's going to happen to other buildings too, as they continue to go down and Denver continues to plummet in terms of businesses. You know, the Downtown Business Association is getting money pumped in from the city and they're trying to make it good and they want people to go there. But the city is in, I don't want to say a death spiral, but certainly a near death spiral. And once that starts, it really doesn't turn around for a long time. I mean, look at Detroit, look at some of the other cities where this happens until things get so rock bottom that somebody says, okay, there's enough value here for us to, I mean, like Larimer Square, right? There was a time when it was a dump. It was a warehouse district, abandoned warehouses, right? And Rhino was the same thing. And sooner or later, things turn around and it starts to become valuable again. But downtown is a little different because it has all of these giant skyscrapers. And I don't know what it costs to demolish one of those, but I've got to imagine it's certainly not all that cheap. So it's the kind of thing that it's just depressing. It's depressing when you go down there. And it's depressing to see that the city policies are doing nothing to turn it around. In fact, they cheer it when corporations leave, right? Now, Cherry Creek is doing well. So if I'm a business and I'm going to look to where to go, I'm going to go down to Cherry Creek. And the downtown is going to continue to deteriorate. And they're talking about, you know, they've got the shuttle. They're trying to figure out what to do with things along the 16th Street Mall. Just abandon. I mean, I don't know. You know, maybe they should. I don't know what you do with it. Maybe let the grass grow and put cattle in there or something like that, right? Because no one's going to go there. And so, again, this guy, it's smart. He was selling, I saw it was selling for $24 a square foot, where, you know, a few years ago in 2016, so 10 years ago, it was selling, the same kind of property was selling for $200 a square foot. I'm talking about the downtown Denver office thing. And so, you know, you too, like I said, you too can own a downtown Denver skyscraper. That's what we've joked about. We could probably figure out, you know, if it gets a little bit lower, how to get a loan for that.
Yeah, yeah. Right? And put out the house, but it's collateral, but yeah, I think it's worth something.
And then we could, you know, of course, who would want to live downtown? That becomes the other problem. Jacob says turn them into data centers. You know, that's might not be
not a bad idea.
Yeah, then he's talking about, Jacob has a Wall Street Journal where they call that, yeah, Denver is Colorado's of the emptiest downtown and the dirtiest. Yeah. And in downtown Detroit, never recovered, at least not yet. Right. And with the progressive policies, I don't know that it will. And you look at what's going on in Colorado politically, you know, the people of Denver are crazy. You know, I mean, I don't think they're going to vote to not have crazy politicians.
For Democratic Socialist, for the congressional candidate, for it's overwhelmingly Denver, Glendale. So we've got the new tax proposal, which is coming up. I forget the number, Proposition 235. Which will
the progressive one? There's one flat tax one,
right.
One that caps it, right? That caps it, which we support. And there's another one where they're basically saying we want to raise it whenever we can. Winky, winky. First, we're just going to really raise it for the rich people. But
yeah.
As the rich people flee Colorado,
you're the rich people.
You become the rich people,
Johnny. You're the rich people.
And as there's nobody's paying, no one's paying property taxes anymore. You know, I mean, I imagine the property tax that you would pay in a $30 million building. Or a $300 million building, right? Or $30 million building. That's different than what you would pay in a $3.6 million building, right?
It would be like 10 times as much than they will get this year, 90% reduction is the way you want to do it. But you know, so the budget, if the budget is Denver has got this old budget deficit, wow, wait till the next tax thing when
right.
They kind of go. I mean, honestly, I mean, you know, everybody's house is these days, what's the average house worth, $700,000 or something? I mean, my God, you know, the amount of tax revenues that's going to be screaming.
Right.
Well, for the Denver budget, it's going to be huge.
Right. But they're not going to have any money. I mean, you know, all they want to do is spend their money on illegal immigrants, right? Nobody else, but illegal immigrants. They're not even going to have money. Illegal immigrants are going to quit coming to Denver. They're going to play. This place sucks. No, they're going to be like,
what fun is your downtown? Oh, I'm going to war. Isn't that more fun there?
That's
Jesus
right.
Christ.
Well, Jacob is saying the larger buildings in Detroit became pot growing centers. Well, that's not going to work in Denver anymore or in Colorado anymore because they're all being, every time you turn around, another one's closed, right? Again, the laws here are so crazy where that kind of thing is concerned that, you know, they're owned by some big corporations and they just are consolidating.
Yeah,
right? I mean,
absolutely.
They make it very difficult for that.
I think the data center thing is perfect.
Can you have, I don't know, can you have data centers? They seem to
be all flat.
Yeah,
flat.
I don't know if you can have them in
vertical or not. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, but Denver certainly, we do not want any stinky data centers either.
No.
Right? No. No.
Yeah, we don't have Palantir, the largest cap market rate in Colorado, and the idiots over at Westward are all cheering. We won't miss them. Who's we, Kemosabe?
Yeah. So, you know, they're fighting the data centers, which has become sort of this political flashpoint, too, which is a topic for a whole other day, because I think all of the, it's a PSYOP, it's against Americans by the Chinese, I think, right? They're manipulating us and they're paying social media people to scream about the data centers without any facts. I mean, it's just from
Maybe data centers stink, but you know, eventually some people go, all the data centers you want.
Well, you know,
they do drive up your water prices and utility prices.
Well, I think it depends on where they are and what they let them do. I mean, there are tons of them out there already. I mean, we're using them already. And that's a whole different topic because that needs a lot of research. But that's my general sense of those, that it just kind of depends.
I think you could find the, I mean, you know, we rent office space or the Glendale Cherokee Chronicle in Denver. And we've got a pretty good deal, but just pretty good. I mean, we ought to have, you know, like a dollar. We'll give them a dollar. That'll be it.
What happens at that point? And wouldn't you agree with me that this guy, so we bought it for 3.6 million, he's not going to fix it up. He's just going to sit on it, right? And let it just become.
It costs money just to. He's got to pay the old property taxes because it'll be based on the old assessment. So he's got a big bill there. But
what I mean, though, is he is not announcing some kind of grand new plan to renovate this place.
Screw that.
But because who's he going to renovate it for?
The workout center.
Right.
Because he can just walk up the steps.
Well, that's what you could just do, right? And because, I mean, here's the thing.
10,000 steps in.
It's already 70% vacant, so that's creepy. But all the buildings around it are vacant, right?
Yeah.
There's no people downtown. The restaurants are all closing. It's all just homeless people and drugged out people laying on the sidewalk. And there's no parking anyway, right?
No stinking cars.
There's a bike lane there. It's like, so even if you were to turn it gray, no one's still going to go there, right? I mean, it's still.
Well, no, we're available.
Well, yeah, maybe. Well, but I mean, why would you, right? It's like, it's just kind of.
Well, your cam charges would be huge if you only have 30% running.
Oh, well, and like I said, and the elevators don't work. That would be alarming enough.
That would be the first sign, maybe. Just walk up there. You want a little hike? Let's go see that wonderful 16-floor unit.
Really. And we're working on the elevators. So I think downtown Denver, I mean, what do you think? I think it's going to get worse, and it's going to get much worse before it gets better. I mean, I don't see any ways that it's
going to have a new legislature. after the November election, which is just going to be a rout, and they'll have super majorities, and they'll put in all those growth policies that they love so much. It's Colorado. If I had to, do a bet, I bet on the short. I bet Colorado's economy is going to tank because nobody wants to move here. I mean, if you're leaving California, Washington, Oregon, you go, hey, let's go to another blue state. No, gotta go to Wyoming.
That's what the
place else.
Florida took out giant ads on New York, on Times Square in New York, calling Mondami what the Florida's economic developer of the year.
Yeah,
which is true, and that's what Mike Johnson is. Well, and I think some of this is good for the suburbs, but I think you're right. The problem is the progressive policies are not, and the anti-business policies are not just in Denver. They're statewide.
Maybe. Well, if they're not statewide, then the legislature requires them to be statewide. There's a huge effort in the legislature to put all the affordable housing mandates and the density mandates and the minimum car mandates all on cities. Purportedly, we have home rule, and they shouldn't be able to do that. But guess who appointed all the judges? Yeah, they're all Democrats.
So they're like, yes, you do so have to do that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You don't live in a free state. Screw that.
No. So, I don't know. It'd be too bad we can't have like a time-lapse video, right?
I suppose.
Years, yeah, really. But I remember, I'm old enough to remember when downtown was kind of a fun, exciting place to go, right?
Well, I'm so old that I can remember when it was a dump and the law firm I joined had bought a renovated old brick building and so forth based on the appreciation it was going to get because they weren't right immediately, but turned out to be true. I mean, downtown has been a hopping place, just great. Rockies had a lot to do with it and moving all the bars and everything else that came there. And the Rockies are perfect for downtown Denver these days. They're fifth year of losing 100 in a row. I mean, they should call the downtowners. I mean, we're just staying with whatever's happening downtown. We go with it, no matter what.
You keep reading how, the Downtown Business Association, whatever, the DDA, they have all these plans, but to try to renovate it. But none of that will happen as long as you've got a city government and a state government that keep making things incredibly unfriendly to visitors, that keep making it dangerous to be down there. That if you were, like you said, if you were, in terms of touring, so not only do you have to walk up 16 flights, 17 flights now, but you have to step over the passed out drug addicts in the hallway, right? I mean, that's why would anyone... Why would anyone even want to do something there? On a similar note, I mean, Aurora is going the same way. I was reading there was a thing on the libs of TikTok. She had a thing on. So they show some guy, some drugged out guy. They have this nice little garden area, community garden in Aurora.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they've got beehives there, which is cool for the honey. You can grow your plants or tomatoes in it. It's a community garden. And that's a cool idea. Oh, no. So there's one homeless guy. He's in there. He's got cement blocks. He's killing all the bees.
Yay.
He's killing all the bees. Ripping out all the plants.
Yeah.
And the people who were there, who he was threatening and trying to injure as well, right?
Oh, yeah.
Called the police. No one came for 4 hours. For 4 hours.
Then he arrested the people calling.
For discriminating against.
What
do you do with that, right? I mean, you go away. That's our daughter's fiance, he lived in a place that had a business in Denver, like at 8th and... kind of in the Sunnyside neighborhood there, kind of by where I-25 and 8th all come together. And he was constantly having meth labs that were setting things on fire. He was catching people, like robbing him. He actually had the people there in the enclosure.
We're not coming.
We're not even going to show up.
Let that poor guy go.
Yeah. And then they came back the next day, right? So he's like, fine, okay, I'll leave Denver. I don't need that. So that's what we're going to see in downtown. But in the meantime, at least you could pick up some real estate. I mean, how long, if ever, do you think it'll be before a building like that comes back?
Well, it's all the economy now. Back in the late 1980s, when the old boom blew, I don't think there was a owner-occupied building. It all went back to the banks. But then when Denver came back after building the airport in the early 90s and so forth, he bought one for $3 million. He made a fortune. But, the trouble is, it's one, It's the fact that, you know, commute from work and the whole COVID thing has
right.
killed it in part two. You have a mayor and a governor. And the governor's now one of, it's going to be the last sort of semi-sane Democrat, if you consider Polis semi-sane. And when did he get the attorney
Phil Weiser, yeah.
Phil will be great. Phil yeah. will just make the state hum. And the legislature will be incredibly left-wing after this next election. And all of Colorado will sort of, you know, go down the drain. I mean, you know, the mountain communities at which have had, I don't know, massive growth. We had a house, we built a house in Aspen in 1970. Can you imagine? Yeah,
I mean, I wasn't born yet. No, I wasn't born yet.
you know, huge markup, and then we sold it too early. But and now it's worth, I don't know, $20 million or something. But they're all going to start sucking because people, you know, just let's not do it.
Well, I mean, again, the business climate is so bad in Colorado that why would you? And like you said, and it's going to get worse, right? Why would you want to come to some place where you've got crazy leftists protesting out front of your business over something you don't have anything to do about, and then the police won't come and take it away, right? The police won't protect your employees. So, you know, again, the good news is pretty much a lot of people can afford to buy a downtown Denver skyscraper. You too can have one. That's right. But I'm not sure what you're going to do with it. You can turn it into like a huge, what, who's that? Howard Hughes kind of, you can hide away in there and become a
hermit. Back to the top of the Desert Inn.
That's right. Well, that's that. We'll keep you on that. Wanted to talk about, oh, Canada. I saw the thing that was that FAFO they're finding out. So what a.
Well, you know, we now have tariffs, 50% tariffs. They called off the talks. And I must admit, Carney, who's the prime minister, is very articulate and very convincing on television, saying, we're all ready. Bring it on, UK, United States. We're not scared of you people, you big bully. Take this from us. And Trump's going, okay, sounds good. Why not? Why not for you wonderful Canucks?
We're tired of, you know, you're not the 51st state. Well, here we have some sound where the United States trade rep, Jamison Greer, kind of addressed what's been going on. So, hey, if we could please play the Canada soundbite.
Just remember how we started with all of this. The Canadians over a year ago, they prohibited the sale of American wine and spirits in their stores. They put limits on how many autos could go into Canada. And even before that, they restricted the sale of U.S. dairy into Canada. So lots of new and longstanding issues with Canada. After about a year of asking them to eliminate these, they said no. So we proposed some very tailored tariffs. Covering about 5% of what they send us, so pretty low amount in the grand scheme of things, to have our own tariffs on those to counter out that retaliation. The Canadians came to us about a month ago. They said, we'd like to negotiate. We didn't ask for it, but we said, okay, we're happy to move forward in good faith, and we did, and they did. We progressed to a point Tuesday night where we had enough agreement among the parties to announce that we had found the way to a deal, and we set about to finalize it. And then in the last hours, I think there were things that the Canadians just, you know, they wanted more. We offered them the best access to the United States of any country in the world. Obviously, there's always going to be tariffs, and there's going to be that protection for American workers and companies. That's the president's trade policy. That hasn't changed. But we sought to accommodate the Canadians by giving them, by cutting tariffs in half on steel, on aluminum, and extensively reducing them on autos and even on things like softwood lumber, accommodating some element of that. Things that are sensitive for the Canadians, they wanted more. I don't know if it was political for them. It certainly doesn't make economic sense, but perhaps for political reasons, they have some by-elections coming up. I don't know, but they came in and they wanted more, and we weren't prepared to do that.
Yeah, and at a certain point, I think the problem they have is Trump wants to get rid of the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement anyway, right? He wants
he wants to get rid of it. He wants bilateral trade
agreement. He wants an agreement with Mexico and an agreement with
Canada and, of course, Mexico. What do you mean? NAFTA and then the red were great for us. They were the best in the world. China could get all its steel in here. They would, in fact, sell us steel incredibly cheaply, and we'd put it in cars, and then we'd you know, shipping to the United States, and we, you know, on low tariff things, and therefore the Chinese are very happy because they can't have immediate access. We were happy. And Canada was doing great. I mean, Canada, since all the whole world since World War II, the United States is the only standing power left, and it decided to revive the economies of West Germany and everything else, has had trade agreements where the United States got screwed. It just, and they always continued them on. And you know, 40 years later, 50 years later, till China kind of came in and upset the apple cart and took everything. And Trump has now come in. Canada, good. I mean, if Canada wants to be fully independent, go be fully independent. have fun. Trade with the Namkach Indians up north, and have a good time. And yes, your economy will go appreciably down, but you'll have your freedom. You'll be totally free in the United States. I mean, really, the auto industry in Canada is just hugely U.S. Subsidized, and it's actually Chinese subsidized too until they bring their own vehicles over. Rip them apart. And so Ontario will be devastated. I mean, devastated. And nobody cares anymore. I mean, all of us, I don't care who you are, you had a kind feeling for Canada. I mean, I had a girlfriend that was a French Canadian. Everybody loved the Canadians and stuff. And now they're booing us all the time. So screw it.
Well,
they've got a good time on your own.
They've gotten sort of for political reasons. It's like if Trump does it, they automatically hate it. And so,
and I understand why. Carney, let freedom ring. Let freedom ring, and Independence Day for Canada. They'll be poor, and their energy policies will destroy them.
Well, yeah, that was one thing the Conservative Treehouse mentioned, that because part of the problem is with one of the things that the United States really wasn't willing to budge on is, like you were saying, they get a lot of their metal and things like that from China. And the United States is like, we do not want to be sort of secondhand or through the back door subsidizing China, which is what this was doing, right?
Yeah.
The problem that can't, and the United States is like to Canada, but you guys have plenty of minerals. What's the problem?
Yeah.
The problem is that they got, they got rid of all their coal-fired plants, they decarbonized, I guess, is the term they use.
The windmills going.
They got the windmills, and windmills might be great, but they don't raise and or generate enough energy. To generate enough energy to actually melt the metal. So China, Russia has to import it. I mean, rather than change your policies and say, maybe we should rethink this, they're like, no.
Whoa, we can't have climate.
Maximum interrupt is here. Canada sold all their major mining to China.
Right.
It's over with. Yeah, they there's nothing to go back to.
I guess that's a good point. Yeah, China's like, no, we're not going to buy it. And so, and the United States, like I said, is like, we're not going to backdoor subsidize China. So, and by the way.
A town that's just opposite side of Detroit, it's Windsor. That's where my ex-girlfriend came from. And they're going to be like Detroit because they're going to be so broke. They're going to have empty office buildings and everything else. Because they've really depended, as Europe has. I mean, Europe depended for 50, 60, 70 years. Unfair, did you ever see, if you went to Europe, did you ever see a Ford or a Chevy or anything else? I mean, we made a few good cars. No, because the tariffs are impossible. And now it's kind of ones that are great. And so, we own two German cars, and we're going to get stuck because all the prices.
We aren't going to be buying new cars for a while.
Well, but you're going to be paying parts, unless they're parts.
Trump had said then buy American.
Buy American for your Mercedes. Okay.
The thing is, though, that the United States has is the ability, and this is, I think, one of Trump's big push, is to make it ourselves, that just produce it here, which makes huge economic sense. It makes huge national security sense. That's to generate the jobs here. And if Canada wants to be jerks about it, then they can. And somehow Canada, they go to those meetings and they have, like, he meets with some of the other European heads of state and they all, like, stick their nose up at Trump. And I'm sure they go to, it's like a middle school party or something where they all talk about how horrible Trump is. And he just kind of clobbers over him, So I don't know what Canada's going to do. I mean, they're going to talk big.
Well, I just hope we'll get Kamala Harris, who is the leading Democrat.
Well, that's true.
Wait for Canada to give away the country.
From Jacob, Ford is moving its operation to Detroit from China. Yeah, Detroit is selling wholesale subdivisions for a dollar. I'll be there late September. So, okay, you can give us a full report. Okay. Yeah, maybe we'll get a downtown office building here and we can all
do a 1031 exchange.
Do a 1031 exchange. Well, in the meantime, too, though, like you said, I think in the overall scheme of things, there are some products that will be more, but the United States does have the ability to do it ourselves. And so
it's just a matter of size. The United States is so much bigger than Canada that whatever increase it is, it'll be minimis.
Right.
You won't feel it and they won't be able to.
Well, there will be some people who will feel it, like Canadian whiskey, stuff like that. Canadian goose. Maybe they'll keep the geese there.
Geese there, yeah. Canadian whiskey. Do you really need Canadian whiskey?
Well, no.
Bourbon or Irish whiskey.
And I think, from what I understand, but I think in a way, Canada is playing right into Trump's hands because as I understand, and granted, I'm no tariff expert, but what Trump wants to get rid of the agreement. And at a certain point, Trump can now say, hey, the negotiations have broken down. That triggers a 6-month when you're quitting your job, you have to give a 2 weeks notice. Yeah. It's like a 6-month notice that we're going to pull out of the trade agreement. And then I think Canada's really screwed, right? Because now they got nothing to fall. Now they're starting from scratch.
Everybody would be moving south. And you have an election for Alberta in, I guess, September.
Well, but they're all like crazy because they hate Trump, right? And so, and that just doesn't fly anymore. Even the Democrat Party realizes if you're running on I hate Trump, that's not selling anymore. What's selling is I hate the. It's worse than that. It's like I hate the Constitution. It's like forget Trump. Yeah. You know, Trump is.
And the Constitution.
Yeah, I hate Trump. I hate the Constitution more, and I want to just get rid of.
That's going on.
I want to get rid of
everything I see. It shows a disaster for Republicans coming up.
Here's the thing. Now we see, what did you say? The polls are intentionally being manipulated to see if they can manipulate people, right? It's like, oh, there you go. It's nothing new, but now they're openly, that's why with the Hong, some of these recent elections, they're like, oh, well, we were doing that just to see if we could make a difference. It's like, you made a difference. Now no one's going to trust polls at all. No, you never should. But at least there were some that you thought might give it clear. Now no one does. So I don't know about the midterms. I kind of think that the Democrats are crazy, and I don't know how much Ukraine, I don't know how much Iran, I don't know how much all of that really hurts Trump. If the economy, if gas stays down, if the economy stays good, I still think that's what matters most to people.
Jacob says, as Russian law used to say, the real issues appear after Labor Day. Unfortunately, you get your ballot the next day. So,
October 2nd, but yeah.
Yeah, October 2nd, that's pretty damn early. Labor Day is the 8th or something, so you got 28 days to work everything out. I mean, it's changed with the earlier and earlier and earlier and earlier voting.
Yes. There's no October surprises that much anymore because you can't.
And after November, in LA, so the election season is really.
Go through January.
Yeah, like the NFL will be expanding everywhere.
Well, what else? Anything else you wanted to talk about with Canada?
Well, I just think it's amazing. I don't know if you've watched Mark Carney, but he's very good. He's very good. If you're Canadian, he's totally reasonable. What are we doing? We're going to be okay because of his fiscal policies. But we can go on.
Okay. Jacob has what else? Oh, the Swalwell situation is getting spicy. I wonder how many CIA agents were killed when Fang had control of his apartment. that is getting spicy. But again, the media, the liberal media ignores it. They pretend that wasn't happening at all. You know, one other thing that I wanted to talk about a little bit, and I haven't paid a ton of attention to it, just because sometimes you hate to be manipulated totally by social media. But the Lindsay Clancy trial, so she's the mom who killed her 3 children because trying to claim insanity, saying she was suffering from postpartum depression. And it has raised, all of these liberal women who are convinced they too have mental health issues because of men and the rest of the world are all saying, this is points out how it's not her fault she killed her children. It's men's fault. It's everyone else's fault. And we women are the victims here once again. And it's become like this weird rally cry. Now I'll say, I think that the world does not do nearly enough to help support not just mothers, but fathers of newborn babies. I remember years ago, I had a friend who had a baby who was born and he had colic. And I don't know if anyone's ever had a baby that's had colic, but I mean, she was just going crazy, right? So we used to take turns. Some of her friends, we would go over and sit. She could get out of the house and we would sit with the baby for a while, right? But we organized that ourselves. And so you think now she'd been an illegal immigrant. Of course, she probably could have got a luxury nanny and townhome and trip to Disneyland. But since she was just a regular white American girl, there was no support. Sure. Yeah, there was no support beyond what her friends could give her. So I will grant that postpartum depression can be a real thing. And I think that with all the, because there's no, you know, pharmaceutical thing, I guess they give her just antidepressant drugs, but.
Oh, no, they gave her
a ton of them.
I
mean, yeah.
I actually have a different viewpoint.
Well, no, I have more.
She put on a very good, well, she didn't put on her defense. I guess she parried the prosecutor and said, there's no problem. Okay, so you called this one doctor and said, I'm going crazy. I've got this, don't worry about it. So you got a little, I mean, they drugged her to death. This is big pharma. They ought to take some of the big pharma people and indict them.
Well, and the one thing too, I wanted to talk a little bit about on all of it, because all of those are issues, but also to me, it also raises a whole question, which I think is a significant one in the justice system of the whole not guilty by reason of insanity or insane, but guilty. I covered years ago a case, and it was very similar in Colorado, where the mother had postpartum depression and the father was struggling and nobody realized how much it was. But hers was like, it wasn't more like, you know, I was seeing psychiatrists and you give me the right drugs. Hers was like Satan was talking through the dog and was telling me to kill the children so they could go to heaven, right? That's different than somebody who was like, I was struggling with postpartum depression. I mean, I think sometimes
that's
people...
really not her defense. she was, you know, they gave her a pharmacological hell bin.
Right.
Of drugs and did nothing for her. And the effect of having all those drugs would create psychosis. You know, the insanity defense is crazy. It first came out of a case in England, like the 1840s or something. But, you know, in most countries, you kind of go, well, that goes to what the punishment is. But it doesn't go to whether you're guilty or not.
Right. And that's what I wanted. That's what I was going to, where I was a long way around going with that. And that I think the whole insanity thing is kind of messed up because, you know, I've, again, covered cases where people were found not guilty by reason of insanity. And they really were insane, right? They had some kind of weird psychosis. No one, but one guy, I remember he had killed his niece and was boiling her intestines in the crock pot when the poor mom came home. And again, Satan had told them to do this through the dog. I don't know why Satan speaks. I would think Satan would speak through cats more. But at any rate, you never heard me say a chipmunk. Satan spoke to me through a chipmunk or a squirrel. But at any rate, but the problem is under Colorado law, if you're found not guilty by reason of insanity, they put you in the mental health hospital where they give you drugs and then they make you sane, so to speak, and then they just release you. And of course, now once you're released, you quit taking your drugs and then you commit more crimes, you know. And so I think that there's got to be a way to, I mean, this woman, she killed three of her children, right? You can't say, well, I'm sorry, the doctor didn't give you the right prescription medicines. Yeah.
Put out a few more.
I mean, that's so go free and try not to kill any more children. I mean, that's clear, which is what these liberal women want, right? That's clearly not the right answer. But on the other hand, it's also, well, I don't know. I mean, I don't think they should go. I think there should be something like, you know, you're guilty, but you were insane. You're still guilty. The crime still occurred.
Yeah, it's insane that we do this. And why we do it, it's because it helps the legal system. Because if you have a client who's... clearly guilty, you can always go to insanity defense.
Well,
and then you can have a 6-month trial and waste every legal resource you possibly have. Take up jurors.
And you go to the Aurora Theater shootings, right? Mm-hmm. Where he claimed not guilty by reason of insanity and the jury was like, nope. You know what I mean? It's like, what is insane?
Yeah, but allow George Brockett to have fun.
Well, George Brockett can.
Yeah, he had a great time.
Well, I don't know that you would have a great time at that.
Of course you will. You're prosecuting, you're getting it. But he didn't get the death penalty. He decided not to do it.
Right. Well, and I think that to me, you go back to the punishment, right? Mm-hmm. That to me would be fair. If somebody is insane, right? Then, I mean, I think it's fair to say the guy clearly had mental health issues, right? And so should he get the death penalty? I mean, no, that, but I think it just, it raises a lot of interesting issues.
Well, I'm never quite sure that someone says, okay, this particular person tortured and butchered another human being for days. And they kind of go, well, great. You know, and then they arrest them and stuff. They go, well, that was insane. They go, we don't care. We don't care if you're insane or not. You're torturing and butchering. It's your conduct. It's not some kind of weird mens rea test.
You go, but okay. Were you capable of determining right from wrong?
Oh,
right.
This is shit. Right. I mean, it's just kind of like, no. I mean, a lot of, you know, some of the worst people in the world, you know, Joseph Mengele. Okay, do you have mental problems? Maybe.
Well, and Ray Garcia, you know, Ray, you raise a good point here. It's launched this whole set of conspiracy theories. He says the whole case is crazy. There's a lot more to it. I cannot say she's guilty or innocent at this point, but there is a pretty good argument that they're making online that she was drugged and somebody else committed the murders. I haven't followed that enough, but I will say though that I do think it goes back to the hospitals, I think, the medical industry, with all the money we spend on it, and with all the free stuff that now that I'm over 65, Humana keeps sending me, maybe they could take some of that and send it to new families and say, how are y'all doing? You know what I mean? Because it's hard. And anyone who has children knows that it's hard. And I think they don't. They just sort of discharge. I'll give them, you just don't get to kill your children. But I think of all the things we spend money on medically, I think more could be spent on actually.
Hey, did you see that there's a great new ad by Pfizer or somebody saying, you know, if you're going to live a healthy life, and I'm kind of into healthy, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I've lost a lot of weight and all that. You need to incorporate vaccines into your schedule. There's lots of vaccines to keep you away from all kinds of crap. And so just go down to your local crazy doctor and have them give you some vaccine things. Get COVID. See if that does your heart any good.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Okay, Ray, then you know more about it. I mean, there's the argument that the defense is making in court is that somebody else committed the murders.
I don't know.
I haven't followed enough to know. A lot of times that doesn't fly in court. But I think what you want to do is you want to raise reasonable doubt. If you're a defense attorney, you want to just throw everything and you never know.
But you have to raise that. There's always hearings now because people are really defense. There's a famous, I think it's Clarence Darrow. He tried some guy and throughout the trial, could you be sure that wasn't his twin brother? Do you know the difference?
Well, that's what he said. All they need is reasonable doubt. I think reasonable doubt.
Let me finish the story.
And
then they said, you know, how do they know that it wasn't his twin brother? Turns out there was no twin brother. And so they go, and so now there's a whole procedure. If you're going to blame it on somebody else, you have to raise that ahead of time. So maybe they did or they didn't.
Oh, did you see that the radio host who was sued for $50 million had the amount lowered? That's the Sand, what was it? The Sand Creek? What was that? The school shooting. Sandy, I can't believe I can't remember that.
You mean Jones?
Yeah. So they reduced it from like $50 million to like $5 million. It's almost worse though, because now it's something that he could probably actually, Sandy Hook, thank you, be reasonably expected to pay, right?
Probably can pay.
Yeah, right. So now he'll probably have to pay it. Trump has to pay E. Jean Carroll too. That's kind of too bad.
She's happy.
Yeah.
She's happy.
That's anything else?
Yeah. I want to say how much I hate Rupert Murdoch Productions. I mean, some ways he should be happy that he owns and has a semi-conservative one. But I cannot stand the clickbait on Fox News. Everything is clickbait.
Oh.
Everything.
On the website. Yeah.
I mean, it's not click when it flies, but it's just, you know, everything is huge, massive, but they tell you nothing. Then I go, I can't stand it.
Bikinis. If you can find
whole
a reason.
Women with bikinis. Women with bikinis.
Briefly, and then we'll go. I worked for a company that's no longer in existence for a while. God, this would have been 20 years ago, maybe. And it was a production company. And it was, they did a lot of car stuff, right? And so they hired me, and I was going to do some kind of lengthy crime kind of documentary. And they're like, okay, we like anything you can do, but they're like, but if you could work in cars and women in bikinis, that'd be great. We don't care how. They don't have to have anything to do with anything. But if just somehow we could have a car and women in bikinis angle, and if we could have a murder involving cars and women in bikinis, that'd be great altogether,
too. That'd be the best. The trouble is old women. Heidi Klum. Can someone please postpartum kill Heidi Klum? I mean, she just won't go away.
They're the only ones who have the free
pictures
out.
Heidi Klum will not go away.
Everyone else, the younger women.
Oh, my God. 82-year-old Heidi Klum comes out with sizzling one-piece bathing suit.
Now we're venturing into sexist territory. On that note.
Why not high note? You see, we knew we could get to the high note. We didn't have to end on Julie's low note. We could go high.
We will see you guys all on Wednesday. Thank you. Have a good day, everybody.